Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we look forward to talking to you and with you every single week at this time. And we try to talk about subjects that we think are important and educational and informational and topical for all of us who live in the Western New York community. And I know you are listening to us from far and wide, all the way. We have a really big signal in some of our stations. I'm telling my guests this, but I'm telling my audience too. You know, you get to listen to us in, all the way to New York City, I heard sometimes. But what we really care about now today are those of you who are listening in Erie County, because we recently actually had a chance to hear the mayor of Buffalo and the convention center giving a very, very interesting and informational talk about the state of the city. And I realized then, this just happened last week when I was listening to him, well, soon we should be finding out about the state of our county, which, as I said, most of you who are listening are part of us here in Erie County, since it is one of the biggest counties. I always keep saying this, everybody, because I'm originally from New York City, as you all know, because you listen to me every week. And I keep saying, you know, it's the second biggest county. It's the second biggest. You know, it's really big. We're really big. We're really important up here in all my downstate friends and relatives are not impressed. They don't believe it. But it is the isn't it the second biggest county outside of New York?
We have Westchester County that's in upstate New York. It is the second largest.
Okay, I'm right. That's what I'm saying.
And so on Long Island, there's Nassau and Suffolk, which are a little bigger.
Yeah, they're a little bigger, I know. But we are more important and we are more relevant because everything that happens in Western New York, and especially in Erie County, affects all of the state in many ways, which we're going to talk about. So in this, the voice you just heard is probably really, besides mine, is probably really familiar to all of us because, and all of my listeners, first of all, he was a guest on Target not too long ago. Seems like yesterday, but it was probably a couple of years. He is the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, and he has been, as you probably know, the county executive since 2011, going into his eighth year serving us, the residents here in Western New York. And during all that time, as you probably know, he and his office has had a large great impact on us, on our daily lives. And probably when I get to talk to the county executive a little more during this program on Target, you might be surprised that you don't think about all that the county does, all the services that they provide for us, and all that they are responsible, and how there is practically no part of our daily lives that are not affected by some office, or whether it be senior citizens, or health, or welfare, or a crime in the streets, safety. There's just such a wide range of influence and range of importance and daily life influence that we have to talk about here in Western New York that the county executive has something to do with. So now that I gave you all that big buildup, and now that I put all the responsibility for all these things on you, are you still happy to be here?
Yes.
Are you still glad you came?
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
And it's only a few minutes, and he's thinking, oh my gosh, what, I have to talk about all of this? But I know you can do it.
Well,
because we're friends also.
Certainly can do it. Erie County has such a big footprint, so to speak. It impacts so many ways in people's lives that they don't even think about, as you know. Erie County, actually, population is greater than five states. And geographic-wise, is approximately the same size as the state of Rhode Island. So we're not talking about a small community, and you noted it's one of the largest. In upstate New York, the only one that's larger is Westchester County. Otherwise, and we're about the same size population. They're a little bit smaller geographic-wise. But the neat thing about being county executive is you represent a community that's very diverse. It is urban, suburban, and rural. I can be working in my office in the afternoon, meeting issues, talking about issues of poverty, issues of health, and then heading down to the South Towns and meeting with our friends in the agricultural community and talking about agricultural issues, meeting with a highway superintendent or a town supervisor, talking about roads, issues of parks. We have very, very large parks across our community. Did you know, Your Honor, you could fit every single one of the City of Buffalo Olmsted Parks in our big crown jewel Chestnut Ridge Parks and still have 200 acres left over? That's how big that park is. But it just
is
goes
this
to
a trick question?
No, it's a real, that's the truth. You could put
the answer
Delaware.
Is no, I didn't know.
Yeah, you could put Delaware, Cazenovia, South Park, Riverside, Front Park, and MLK all in Chestnut Ridge Park and still have 200 acres left over. It's such a big park. And it just goes to show the complexity of Erie County government, that we deal with issues associated with health and welfare. We deal with issues associated with crime and justice. And we deal with issues associated with just people getting on with their daily lives that they don't think about it like they do sometimes their mayor or supervisor. We don't do garbage pickup, but we do pretty much everything else. Just to give you an idea, my budget is roughly $1.75 billion. So it's nearly $2 billion.
That's not your salary.
That's not my salary. No, the salary of the elected officials has not been adjusted since 1996. But my salary is not 1.5 or 1.75 billion. But there's no other government that comes close to that other than New York State, because we are so large. And if you think about it, if we were a business, we'd be one of the top five businesses with regards to revenues and expenditures that exist in our entire region. Like M&T Bank or Delaware North are the only ones that would in some ways be larger. So Erie County government provides a lot of services to the general public. We're there to help people, whether it's issues associated with senior services and planning for retirement or dealing with issues with health care or nursing homes. We were really actively involved in the last year in dealing with issues with bad nursing homes. And we're here to help. So we want the public to understand that if they have any questions, of course, to call my office at 858-8500 regarding any issue related to government. More than likely, we can help you. If we can't help you, we will direct you to the party that can, so that we can address whatever issue it is, because we serve the people. In government, we're here to serve the public.
You are so going to regret that.
That's all right. We're used to it.
You know who's really going to regret it? Your assistant over here that's sitting behind us, my old friend Pete Anderson. He's going to go, "What did you do? How could you do that?"
In case people didn't hear it, the phone number is 858-8500. So if they have particular questions, they can call us and we'll try to address them in county government. And if you have a particular question that deals with senior services, you call 858-8526 to talk to someone in our offices downtown Buffalo to address any problems that you may have with an issue for senior services.
You know, this just a little that you said just now about all the services that are available kind of proves, and thank you for doing that on purpose, what I said at the top of the program, that people just do not realize how much influence and how important a county government is to them in their everyday lives. So a couple of the topics that you just brought up, and I was on my mind too, talking about issues that were in the last year or so prominent in the news and in people's minds. You mentioned the senior citizens and the nursing home issue, and that's very, very important, how you've been involved with it and what the county executive and their office has done in the last particularly couple of months or a year.
Well, thank you. We have been intimately involved. We passed a law last year called Ruthie's Law, which required nursing homes to provide detailed information about incidences where a resident became injured and had to be taken to a healthcare facility after a woman unfortunately was brutally beaten in a nursing home, and the nursing facility didn't really tell the family that there was a serious injury. Said she fell, but when they got to the hospital, when they found out she wasn't in the nursing home anymore, they could tell she hadn't fallen. She was actually brutally beaten by a fellow resident at the home. Eventually, unfortunately, that woman died. We named the law after her, Ruthie's Law, working with her family. The family wanted to do it, but we required the nursing homes to provide families direct information of any incident where the member had to be taken to a hospital. Also directed nursing homes to keep accurate records and provide them to our Department of Social Services with regards to incidences, with regards to patient care, and some other things as well, including putting online for the first time, at least in local government, a list of every nursing home and their ratings by Medicare and Medicaid services so people could see how these nursing homes are rated, because
that's when they're so important.
They are exceptionally important. You might think you're putting your loved one in a really five-star facility, but then find out its average rating over 2 years is 2 stars or 1 stars. And that happens because of problems at the home. So we wanted that to be made public. What we've seen as a result of that is nursing homes are much more caring about what their view in the public is, so we think they're putting more effort into try to provide better service to their residents, as well as keeping more people informed about what the level of care is there. You still have problems. We still have some homes that have problems, issues, and we have the ability to go in and to try to confirm that there are issues and force them to change them. We work with the New York State Department of Health, which has the real set of power. They're the ones that can force or close a nursing home. I called for the closure of one nursing home, put in receivership, Emerald South. It actually was eventually put in receivership and was closed after multiple people had died there. And it just goes to show, if you have a bully pulpit like I do as county executive, and you're going to go out there and fight for your constituents like I did, you can achieve something, including closing what was a horrible home that truthfully was people were dying there, and they were, and other people were being put at risk because of the actions that were taking there. I will continue to do that. I will never apologize for fighting for my constituents. Someone might be angry. A business person might be angry at me because I criticize their business establishment. But I'd rather have a business person angry at me for criticizing their business establishment than not say anything and see some of my residents and constituents be put in harm's way.
I was thinking when you were describing the services and the amount of people that county government serves, you're like the county executive, who we're talking to, by the way, if you just tuned in, we're talking to County Executive Mark Pollenkartz, and of course, I'm Penny Wolfgang, and you are listening to On Target. And you know what? I was thinking, you probably thought of this already, you're like the CEO of a big corporation, the county executive, in many ways.
Yes, without
the salary.
Yeah, definitely without the salary. But
I knew you were going to say that, so I figured I'd beat you to it.
There's over 4,000 employees in county government, and they're varied is from the people who work repairing roads to the individuals who are protecting seniors, to our child protective service workers, which is a very important function of social services, to those who assist people in times of need, get what used to be known as food stamps, but now it's called Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, not to be confused with the Temporary Assistance Program and the TANF program. So there's a lot of programs that we have to assist people in their time of need, no matter whether they're young or old. And then we have other things that we deal with, like, I don't know if you knew this, you probably did, but we own the football stadium where the Buffalo Bills play. So we have to maintain that, and I negotiate with the Buffalo Bills as well as the ownership associated with the Buffalo Sabres, because we own the arena where the Buffalo Sabres play. So it's a real interesting job. It's never boring, deals with a lot of issues. I have a set schedule for the day. Very rarely do I follow it because something's always coming up. Hopefully it's something good, but sometimes it's not. I mean, that's part of being in government and representing the people, is some of the issues you have to deal with are painful issues and serious issues. But I enjoy this role because it gives me an opportunity to make a positive impact on the greater community.
And sometimes people interrupt your schedule by asking you to be on radio programs, but we use the influence that we have, such as my assistant Gina Saragusa and her husband, Michael, who is the county attorney, and we have to help put pressure on you know who to take time out of his busy schedule.
I'm always willing to come here and be on your show.
I feel a little guilty about that, but thank you. you, Gina. Thank you, Mike. When you said, as we know, emergencies arise, things happen mm-hmm. to the schedule. And one of them, I don't know if you'd call it an emergency, but this year particularly, yes, it was emergencies that had to do with the weather. The reason I say that is probably we should be used to it here in Western New York, but even Mother Nature can surprise the best of us here in Western New York, and which I think happened several times this past year.
Yes, we actually had to declare a state of emergency for a blizzard that we had not too long ago. We know how to handle snow here, but there are also times in which it's so dangerous we have to take it to the next level. And I'll give you the best example of that is it had gotten so bad out that we had to take our snowplow drivers off the road because they couldn't see where they were going. And if a snowplow driver and those big rigs that cost $400,000 and have all the accoutrements to keep them on the road, if they don't feel like they're safe, then the average person driving in their vehicle is not safe on the road. And so we ended up having a 2.5-day event in which we were truly dealing with some significant issues of people who were putting in life-threatening situations because of the weather, the extreme cold, the bad winds, and of course the snow that was falling. I look at it this way. That's the role of government. Government's there to serve our public. Unfortunately, a few people did die in that storm, and that's sad. We do our best to try to avoid that. I've learned there's certain things you can't prevent. You try to get as much information out to the public as possible, and you hope that the public heeds it. But three people did die in that storm. Considering the severity of it, I think it would have been a lot worse if we hadn't taken the drastic actions that we did to declare a state of emergency and to implement driving bans in a number of communities across Erie County. Because if we hadn't done that, I think more people would have died in what was you couldn't see where you were going. The temperatures were below zero wind chills, minus 20, minus 30 wind chills, and the snow was falling at such a rate with the wind that it was a complete whiteout. I think we did the right thing, and as a result of it, the community was able to get back on its feet very shortly thereafter.
I was so impressed when I was out at the quote-unquote command center. I went to the opiate task force meeting,
yes.
Which I'm proud to say that I've been a member of, and which I was going to ask you about in a minute anyway. But that was, I guess, where they used, what do you call it, the fire?
The Erie County Emergency Operations Center, also the fire training.
The operations and all the people that were involved and how organized it was and how everyone had been, you know, basically working round the clock for I don't know how many days to defeat this.
It was a 3 to 4 day event. It wasn't as long as the superstorm we had in 2014 where we got the 7 feet of snow and we were dealing with it for almost 2 weeks. But in that situation, we have a set emergency plan that we activate. We have teams that report for 12-hour duties. And so a team will come in and they'll work for 12 hours, and the next team will come in and they'll work for 12 hours so that we constantly have fresh people in the Emergency Operations Center. So when we're making decisions, that are appropriate. It's not like we've been working for 3 days in a row and we're tired and maybe make the wrong decision. But I have a great team. I'm very proud of the work that they do in Erie County government, and we worked with our partners in New York State and local government. And as a result, other parts of the country, it might have taken them over a week to get back on their feet. We were pretty much back on our feet within 1 day after the snows had finished. We had the plows on the roads constantly until we couldn't have them out there anymore. But more importantly, it just goes to show what the great people we have in our law enforcement, our emergency services, our public works, all the first responders, because people are sitting at home during the middle of the storm, and our folks are out in the field dealing with life-threatening situations, and I'm very grateful that we have such a strong team that can do that.
And speaking of life-threatening situations, I wanted to ask you to, you know, let our listeners know, talking about successes and issues within the last year particularly, we were talking about the opiate task force, mm-hmm. and I think that is certainly can be counted as not only a success, but an example of how you said getting all the different groups to work together has made such an impact on the epidemic.
We just recently had the third anniversary of my declaration of a public health crisis in Erie County and the creation of the Erie County Opiate Task Force.
And we have had successes. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're not there yet. And I say that because there are still, unfortunately, people dying in Western New York and across this country as a result of an opiate overdose. But we're doing better than we were a few years ago. In 2016, we had over 304 deaths, I believe, as a result of the opiate overdose. Last year, we had about 240. Or 2017, we had about 240. We're anticipating that when the final toxicology reports come in from our medical examiner's office, which will be in a few more weeks, we'll actually have had less than 200 deaths in 2018. Now, it's a positive because there's less people dying than there were a few years ago, but there's still people dying, and every death is one death too many. So we're going to continue fighting the opiate epidemic until there's no reason to fight it anymore because it's over with. The problem is it took over a decade, basically 15 years, for this country to get into the opiate epidemic. So it's going to take probably a full decade for it to get out of it. We are roughly, from our response, we're in year four now. I'm hopeful that by year six and seven, we can say that we've conquered this, but it wouldn't shock me if we still have another 6 or 7 years of dealing with this in the long run, because it took so long to get into it that it's going to take a while to get out of it. But we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm proud of the work that Erie County Department of Health and Department of Mental Health have done, coordinating with so many people. And that was the key. It's not just having one or two people in the room. It's having 200 people in the room from all walks of life. I thank you for your service on the opiate task force. It has made a difference. Lives have been saved. And to those who may be out there who are suffering from an opiate addiction or have a loved one that suffers from an opiate epidemic, you can call our 24-hour helpline. So you can call right now. You're listening to this program live. You can call right now and call 831-7007, and you will talk to a trained counselor who can help you or your loved one deal with their opiate addiction. And it's not just opiate. It's also alcohol addiction, any other type of addiction. So it's our addiction hotline, 24 hours, funded by Erie County, 831-7007. We joke it's like James Bond, 007. But you can talk to a trained counselor, and they will help you get on your road to recovery. Or if you have questions about a loved one who's got an addiction, you can call them too, and they'll answer your questions.
And let's not be modest about this, because we should let our listeners know that Erie County, the way you have attacked this, the way the county has attacked it, has been used as an example. People from the task force have been asked, whether it be the mental health aspect or the law enforcement aspect, they've been asked to go to other states, not just other counties, but other states, to find out how we did it here in Erie County.
Yeah, we have some incredible people here. I serve on a national task force. I've presented on this in California and Washington, D.C. Our health commissioner the same way. And we're at sort of cutting edge ways to respond. Doc Burstein came into my office and said we have this problem, and then we started formulating what we were going to do in response, I treated it as if I was Franklin Roosevelt walking into office as president during the Great Depression. He didn't just try one or two things to get rid of the Great Depression. He tried everything. He threw everything at the wall and saw what stuck. And that was my view of how we're going to address the opiate epidemic. If we do one or two different things, we're going to fail. But if we try all these different things, some of it's going to work, some of it's not. And that's what the positive has been, is we tried so many different things that we did have some things that didn't work. But we tried so much, and we continue trying so much of new things, that we found the stuff that works. And now that's being replicated elsewhere in the country. And it just goes to show, if you try as many different things, not just one and say we failed and move on if it doesn't work, but you try so many different things, you're going to eventually succeed.
Mm-hmm. And also, I told our listeners at the beginning that we were giving them sort of preview. If you listen to On Target on our stations, you find out everything before the rest of the world knows. And I wanted to give them a little preview of your state of the county message that's coming up, particularly what you have planned for the future.
Well, my state of the county is March 27th. Is going to be at the Albright Knox Art Gallery. And what I'm going to be talking about is how Erie County can be here to help everyone benefit from this great new renaissance, this new Buffalo, this new Erie County, But not everyone is benefiting from it. And our goal is what we're going to do in government to try to ensure that everyone has an opportunity, to provide everyone that ladder of opportunity to succeed, and how we're going to do it and go about it through a number of initiatives that we'll be announcing. Some are related to lifelong health and how we can ensure from birth through people's golden years that they have every opportunity to succeed and be the best person that they can be. Some of it's going to be related to consumer protection and what we can do in county government to ensure that our citizens are protected from those who would take advantage of them. That's a big issue that we see, and we deal with it, whether it's issues associated with senior fraud or credit card fraud and things like that, to, of course, the things that we do meat and potatoes on in county government, which is infrastructure, ensuring we have a good infrastructure to provide for the needs of tomorrow. So on March 27th at the Albright Knox, I'm going to have my State of the County, and you've heard it here first on Target, about some of the keys about what we're going to be doing, and you'll be hearing a lot more of it in the future. But the goal is to ensure that Erie County gives everyone an opportunity to take advantage of this great renaissance that we're seeing today.
And also, everyone's favorite subject, the two favorite subjects, death and taxes. I'm sure you're going to have some. We've talked about death, sadly, already with the nursing homes and the issues of the storm. But we didn't talk about taxes because everyone hates to talk about taxes, but it's going to come up, right?
Well, it always comes up. As Thomas Jefferson said, taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. But I am proud to say that since I've taken office, we've actually reduced Erie County's tax rate. It used to be $5.03 per thousand, which means if you had a $100,000 assessed home, you paid basically $503 in taxes to Erie County government. But we've reduced that from $5.03 to $4.84. So if your house was worth $100,000 in 2012 when I came into office, and it's now worth $100,000 still, you're actually paying less in taxes because now you're paying $484 in taxes to county government. Now, that doesn't talk about school districts and towns or villages or cities. I don't control that. They make their own decisions on that. But I'm proud to say that as county executive, we've always stayed below the New York State implemented tax cap. And we have been able to reduce the tax rate, which is a nice message to send to the public that we can focus on these key issues and still reduce the tax rate.
And along with that, I'm sure everybody knows how the value of property and homes and has gone up so much. And it's a phenomenon how real estate has done so well in Western New York particularly.
Well, we didn't have the big boom that other communities had. When other communities were showing 6 to 10% growth in value of homes on an annual basis, ours was growing at 1%. So there's communities in Western New York and in Erie County where they've had tremendous growth. Parts of the city of Buffalo have seen tremendous growth, and there's other parts that haven't. Some of the northern suburbs have seen tremendous growth in Erie County, and some of the southern suburbs haven't. So it's been a hit or miss. But I, in general, most people's homes are worth a little bit more than they were. Some are worth a lot more. It just depends on where you live. But as a result of that, we brought in more revenue because of the value of assessments has gone up. And as a result, we can reduce the tax rate.
And because of the fact that you can get a beautiful home here for some in any of the districts we're talking about, reasonably compared to many of the states and many other parts of New York State itself, people are always voting. You know, they're always doing these polls. What's the most livable? What's the best? Mm-hmm. I don't know, somebody was here from Amherst not too long ago. Saying it's the safest, it's the best place to live, and you know that's part of Erie County. So
yes, it is.
So because of that, that's one of the reasons. You know, good education and housing, affordable housing, and we'll just give you credit for everything while you're here.
Well,
right?
Thank you. I'll take credit for as much as I can.
That way, I'll get you to come back next time.
I'll be back. You don't have to worry. I'll be back.
Thank you so much. So we've been talking to County Executive Mark Poloncarz, and we hope you have enjoyed our conversation and learn something. Please join us again for On Target next week. Same place, same station. Have a good week. Thank you again, County Executive, and thanks for listening, everybody. Bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.